The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Getting some great stuff from you today. So the Joe Biden soundbite that I played when he was in his overseas trip. I have a feeling Joe thinks he's overseas every day of his life. But in his overseas trip, he was asked about the gas prices, which are just unrelentingly skyrocketing. Every single day, a new high. Average in Washington State, over $5 a gallon. Possibility, according to J.P. Morgan, that gas is expected to hit $6 or $7 a gallon. And Joe Biden's solution?
The batteries that we made at this new facility in Georgia are going to power cars without one drop of gasoline and increase security of our battery supply chain as well. That's going to serve to save families money at the pump because they can skip the pump altogether.
Yeah, Joe says if you don't like high gas prices, just go buy an electric car. And as Kat in the 425 said, Joe's solution for high gas prices, it's like telling homeless people that if they don't like being homeless, they should just buy a house. And it is. It's an equally stupid statement. What he's saying about the prices of, you know, gas versus get an electric car. And I'm also getting some good analysis on this, too. I was able to check these numbers. I believe they are correct. Peter wrote in. And he said, regarding Biden's ridiculous solution to move everyone to electric cars, a simple break-even based on the lowest cost EV and gas cars. So the lowest cost electric vehicle is a Nissan Leaf, about $28,000. The lowest cost electric or a gas-powered car is the Chevy Spark, $13,600. So with tax, Nissan Leaf, $31,268. Chevy Spark, $14,960. The cost difference between the cheapest gas and the cheapest electric car is $16,308. So how long would it take for you to make that money back? If you go do what Joe says and just get an electric car if you don't like the high gas prices. Well, let's use the national average for gas. It's over $5 here in Washington. The national average is $4.50 a gallon right now. The gas-powered Chevy Spark gets 30 miles per gallon city, 38 highway. Average is 34. The cost per mile in a gas-powered Spark, 13 cents a mile. So you will break even buying an electric car, the cheapest electric car, you will break even after driving 123,212 miles. And if you drive 15,000 miles a year, which is a lot, you would break even in 8 years. But maybe not, because your batteries probably aren't going to last 8 years in your electric vehicle, and they're very expensive to replace. So you're probably looking at, in 10 years, you'll break even. That is Joe Biden's solution to the poor of America who can't handle the high gas prices. Notice he doesn't call it Putin's price hike anymore. That didn't work. That one didn't stick, did it? But that's his solution. Go buy yourself an electric vehicle. And in 10 years, you'll break even. Won't that be fun? And then I almost couldn't believe this. But from the 360, he took a picture of the gas pump having just filled up this afternoon. And he says, this is the amount I paid to fuel my semi just now. And I didn't even realize the diesel pumps went up this high. He just put 225 gallons of gas in his semi. The total cost, $1,193.62. It's unbelievable to see that on a gas pump. On a gas pump, $1,193.62. But I tell you what, at least that Joe, he doesn't send any mean tweets, does he? Whew. Man, I'm sure glad that we got Joe in there at the White House. He's done a bang-up job. All right, with all that as mere prelude, let's get right to some stuff that you are not going to hear anywhere else. I guarantee you this. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So a few weeks ago, we played some comments by Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Malone is one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccine, the COVID vaccine. And he, speaking to a national group, he identified Jay Inslee as one of the most dangerous people in America. And if you weren't listening when I first played this, Malone's not from Washington. He was talking to a national crowd when he said this, and he doesn't have any particular interest in our state or our region other than he is very wary about what Jay Inslee's all about.
And we got to start by finding out who they are, voting them out of office, making sure they are not part of our governance. Two notable characters here in the United States are Governors Inslee and Newsom. Okay? We've got to out these people. We've got to force them to account for whether or not they're Americans or are they globalists. And if they're globalists, they got to get out. We got to get rid of them. We got to take back ownership of our country. If you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in the principles of free speech and personal autonomy, medical autonomy and autonomy at every level, other level, it's time to fight, you know, or your children are going to live in basically a techno-fascism for the rest of their natural lives as serfs.
Okay, Jay Inslee is a globalist. I don't think there's any question about that. Jay Inslee does not believe in the Washington state or the United States constitutions. He has his emergency powers for many more than 800 days, which give him extra constitutional powers. There's absolutely no reason for Jay Inslee to still have emergency powers. I believe there's only one other governor in the country that still has emergency powers. But it allows Jay Inslee to do things without worrying about constraints of the state of Washington or the U.S. constitutions. One of the reasons he has emergency powers, without question. He keeps changing. He said at first it was to save lives. He needed emergency powers to save lives. And then a couple weeks ago, it was he needed emergency powers so he could keep getting federal funding. So in other words, he's scamming the taxpayers across the country and getting federal funding that he could not otherwise get through normal channels. But his emergency powers allow him to get that. So here's more from Dr. Robert Malone on Jay Inslee.
Why are governments all over the West pushing these authoritarian measures that don't make sense from a healthcare point of view? And the trail, we have resisted this whole conspiracy theory about the World Economic Forum, but the data are there. The information is there. The policies are there. Every single one of the major authoritarian leaders, like the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, et cetera, Gavin Newsom, Governor Inslee, they're all trained by the World Economic Forum. They're in terms of these Americans that are WEF trainees and graduates, their loyalty is not to the Constitution. It's not to the United States. It's to a new entity, this global public-private partnership idea which is based in Switzerland. Davos is, we all think of that, under the leadership of Klaus Schwab. These are the people that have been promoting this universal mass vaccination. And it appears that the logic of that really is about getting digital IDs, getting everybody signed on to a system in which they are digitally identified as a stepping stone towards a digital, total digital-based economy in which we have digital money.
Mm-hmm. That is the goal. Okay, so he talked about the World Economic Forum. If you go to the World Economic Forum, again, a shadowy group based in Davos, if you go to their website, you will see a biography of Jay Inslee. Jay Inslee is a globalist. Jay Inslee will gladly sell out the people of this state, and he has, in order to distribute money from our citizens here in Washington globally. He has done this in many ways already. He, just a week and a half ago, week ago Friday, state of Washington announced that they are going to extend health care benefits to people in this country illegally. The cost of this, I had a fellow, senior fellow from the Manhattan Institute on this broadcast on this last Friday, 3 days ago, and he ran the numbers. It's going to cost every tax-paying citizen family in Washington about $500 a year in extra taxes, so that we can provide $1 billion worth of health care to illegal aliens in Washington. So Jay Inslee, along with all the things that he has done with emergency powers to run around the Constitution, he also does not believe in borders, a key element of a globalist. He has made Washington a sanctuary state. He wants to attract as many illegal aliens to our state as possible. He wants to lure them here with health care benefits, which very few states give to illegal aliens. Free schooling, free housing, free food. I mean, you're having hurts trying to pay your grocery bills. But Jay Inslee, he has no problem trying to get as many illegal aliens to our state so that you can also pay their grocery bills. He is a globalist. At the World Economic Forum, where Jay Inslee is featured, this weekend, they had a huge panel that talked about fixing the carbon market's wealth gap is the key to fighting climate change. And climate change, of course, has nothing to do with the climate or the earth. Climate change is a way to redistribute trillions and trillions of dollars. And in fact, at this panel this weekend, the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, he said that he wants the World Economic Forum to transfer $1 billion a year to Ukraine. As you know, Congress a week ago voted to give $40 billion U.S. dollars to Ukraine. And why? Well, because Russia has invaded Ukraine, and Ukraine's borders must be protected, and their sovereignty must be upheld. And that's coming from people like Jay Inslee, who believes that the United States-Mexico border is irrelevant and the invasion by millions of illegal aliens of America is no big deal. And we'll try to get them all up here to Washington. And we'll transfer as much money from taxpaying citizens as possible to illegal aliens. Now, how did that $40 billion get voted on by Congress to give to Ukraine? And they all said it's, well, because we've got to stop Russian incursion and Putin has to be stopped in his tracks. But did you know, in a filing that was just released today, and if you don't hear this story anyplace else, you should permanently cancel those other media outlets that are hiding stuff like this from you. because defense contractor Lockheed Martin, they, in a filing that was just released, a filing that they had to make in April, Lockheed Martin made donations to the campaigns of 150 members of Congress. Just as Congress was debating, should we give $40 billion to Ukraine? And then Ukraine can buy some U.S. military equipment. And, oh, Lockheed Martin happens to be a maker of U.S. military equipment. So we can tax American citizens $40 billion. We'll say it's because we care about borders and sovereignty. And by the way, this is Republicans and Democrats who voted for this $40 billion. And then the $40 billion, some of it, much of it, gets sent to companies like Lockheed Martin. Well, right before Congress was to debate the $40 billion to Ukraine, Lockheed Martin spent a total of $256,500 donating to the campaigns of 150 lawmakers. 147 donations went to the campaigns of federal legislators, including Adam Smith of Washington. Adam Smith is the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. Now, Adam Smith comes on my show almost as often as we ask him to. I'm going to ask him to come on later this week. I want to talk to him about this. But Lockheed Martin gives Adam Smith $2,500 from their political action group. And then Adam Smith and the rest of the members of Congress said, hey, let's give Ukraine $40 billion. And while I, in theory, want to support Ukraine, I a million times more want to support the United States of America. And I wish that these lawmakers, all the Democrats, they hate our southern border, and they believe that it shouldn't just be millions, but tens of millions of illegal aliens should be able to stream into this country anytime they want, and then we'll find them the pathway to citizenship, and we'll get their votes forever. Before we send $40 billion to Ukraine, I would have spent a fraction of that and made sure that our border was secure, that our sovereignty, that there was not an invasion going on in America. I would worry about that long before I would worry about Russia invading Ukraine. Not because I'm apathetic about what's happening in Ukraine, but because for our lawmakers, doing what's best for the people of this country, the citizens of this country, and for the country itself should be their top priority. But we got defense contractors buying off Congress, shipping tens of billions to Ukraine. You got the World Economic Forum this weekend talking about how they need to fix the carbon gap, which Jay Inslee is taxing people of this state billions of dollars. And it's doing absolutely nothing for the planet. But it's a way to start shipping that money. Oh, and by the way, one quick thing. I'm running out of time here. But when Joe Biden says that you should just buy an electric car, when the World Economic Forum this weekend said we need more electric vehicles, you know where the batteries for electric vehicles are made on planet Earth? 65.2% of EV battery manufacturing occurs in China. China pulls the strings of the World Economic Forum. China has cleverly figured out a way, as a communist nation, to just send money from the United States of America to their power and their control. And the World Economic Foundation is fundamentally interested in a weak America. And Russia and China will absolutely take advantage of a weak America. There's simply no doubt about that. China makes 65% of the EV batteries. Germany makes 11.3%. And the United States of America makes 6% of electric vehicle batteries. So when Jay Inslee and the World Economic Forum, when they are all saying that we just got to buy electric cars, shipping lots of that money to China, and when members of Congress say, we got to fight for Ukraine, well, they're doing the bidding of Lockheed Martin, which gave a huge donation, or a max donation, to 150 members of Congress right before that vote went down. See if you check around. Check around later today. Read various sources. Watch TV. See if you find out any of the things I just told you about. I bet you won't. That is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Going to check the news for you, and then we are going to pay tribute to a dear, dear friend of this show and this audience and me personally. We'll do that. We have a lot of other news to get to as well, all straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Ago, I was very tearful as I started the show because I'd just gotten word that a man who became a dear friend of mine over the last couple of years and a hero, Phil Solman, a Garfield High School grad back in 1942, I believe. Phil was a World War II combat vet, and we had Phil on the show, man, 6 or 7 times. And he told us stories. And at age 95, 96, 97, when we talked to Phil, he was just sharp as can be. He was a all-city champion runner when he was at Garfield High School. And then just a couple weeks after he graduates Garfield High School, he's shipped off to basic training and then over to the European theater where he had to, along with a bunch of other 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, had to save the world from Hitler. And I was really sorry because his memorial service was Friday morning and it was down in Tacoma, and Nicole and I really wanted to go, but with all the show prep and just the travel time, we couldn't get down there. But to Phil's family, and Brenda's his daughter who first connected us with Phil, because I just one day said, I need to talk to a World War II combat vet because we're losing all of them. And I'm sorry we couldn't be there, but I wanted just one more time after his funeral was on Friday to just reminisce about my friend Phil Solman, thank his daughter Brenda and his entire family who are just lovely, lovely people. And one more time, here was Phil just bringing to life what it was like fighting Hitler and the Nazis 80 years ago. It's hard to imagine the importance, the enormity of the mission you were on, but that's what you guys went and did.
Yes, yes, no question about it. But we had a job to do, and we did it without question. And, God, I don't know, in Holland we cleared the... relieved this Canadian outfit. We cleared the port of Antwerp, so supplies could be landed closer to the front lines. Was engaged in the Battle of the Bulge. I'm sorry. I get a little weepy at times thinking about these things.
And he explained, it's been almost 80 years, Phil. Why do you still get so emotional 80 years later?
I don't know. I feel that I shouldn't be here. I was too lucky. 195 days of combat, somebody shooting a rifle or a pistol or artillery shells at me personally. At me, and I figured if I could live through the first day of engagement of the enemy, I'm going to make it through. No question about it. But that's the kind of guy I am. I can get weepy at thinking about my youth, for example. I'm a soft-hearted guy.
Oh, my goodness. And he was a great, great man. And as I said, you know, we throw around the word hero all the time for sports stars and the like. But there's a hero right there. And not just Phil. I say that for all the men and women who have served and currently serve, because there's so much selflessness in them. And they ain't doing it for the money. I guarantee you that, but they're doing it out of love of country. And anyway, I'm told that the funeral on Friday, it was at Tahoma National Cemetery. They played taps. They did a gun salute. It was a double ceremony for Phil and his wife, who he lost a few years ago. And he missed her tremendously. But right before Christmas, Nicole and I went to Phil's house in Bellevue. He was so happy. And, you know, his family, his daughters were such a huge part of this, but he got to live at home right up to the end, you know, age 97. He told me so many times that he was so happy that he didn't have to move into, you know, assisted care or some other type of situation. And, you know, what a blessing that is, too, to live at home until you're 97 years old. So the ceremony, the funeral, and a celebration of life was Friday. And like I said, Nicole and I tried to go, tried to arrange it, but just couldn't do it with the show. But I didn't want to let it go without talking about Phil Sulman, my hero, one more time. Okay, we have kind of a supersized awesome audio of the day with some bizarre audio that is just coming in from both the president and the vice president. I know what you're thinking. That's shocking. They never say anything unusual. Wait till you hear what we have coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And we got lots more to do still. In fact, we got time to roll through all of this for you. It's our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, we played this an hour ago, but it's just very interesting to hear somebody who was the left's favorite comedian now becomes somebody that they hate, because Bill Maher on HBO this weekend dared speak out against medically, with both the hormones and in a lot of cases surgically mutilating children in the names of social justice.
And it's okay to ask questions about something that's very new and involves children. The answer can't always be that anyone from a marginalized community is automatically right, trump card, mic drop, end of discussion. Because we're literally experimenting on children. Maybe that's why Sweden and Finland have stopped giving puberty blockers to kids. Because we just don't know much about the long-term effects. Although common sense should tell you that when you reverse the course of raging hormones, there's going to be problems. We do know it hinders the development of bone density, which is kind of important if you like having a skeleton. Fertility and the ability to have an orgasm seem also to be affected. This isn't just a lifestyle decision. It's medical. Weighing trade-offs is not bigotry.
No, it's not. It's also why, after many, many years of being a big supporter of Seattle Children's, I would never support them anymore because of the stuff they're doing in that area. Okay, I'm very excited. I've got an announcement to make. So at the beginning of the show, I told you about a new ad that has dropped for a Democrat who is running for Congress in the 6th District here in Washington. Her name is Rebecca Parson. Now, Rebecca Parson, she, in her ad, makes it clear that she would like to see no more homelessness, but here's how she proposes to end it.
You feel it. I feel it. We're on the edge of collapse. The corporate elite tell us not to worry, but what has doing what they told us ever gotten us? I did what they told me. I went to college. I got a master's degree. I ended up living in my car. I did what they told me. Protests, letters, phone calls. Nothing changed. So I stopped doing what they told me. We occupied empty buildings and got 200 shelter beds added in our town.
Okay, they did this primarily in the Tacoma area, but that's her solution to homelessness, is to squat. Just take over some other person's property. Just move into any vacant home anywhere you can. And in fact, the visual in this ad, she has a pair of big wire clippers, and you see her cutting a hole in a chain link fence so that they can break in to an abandoned home or business. But that's her solution to homelessness, is breaking in to somebody else's property.
200 people who didn't freeze to death. Billionaires tell us you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Well, f*** that. They want you depressed and hopeless. No. You should be angry and hopeful. Imagine I proposed a housing for all bill in Congress. Then imagine you, me, and a million of our friends took action and occupied empty houses nationwide.
Okay, so that's what you'd like to do as a member of Congress, is get millions of people to squat in other people's property to solve homelessness. She also, on her website, she talks about she wants $30 an hour minimum wage. Here's what I'm very excited. Rebecca Parson, we invited her to come on the show today, and we just heard back from her, and she is going to come on with me tomorrow. I fundamentally disagree with her on almost everything, except I believe that we are on the verge of collapse. But I believe the solution is 180 degrees different from what she believes the solution is. So I will talk with her, and how she could justify making squatting on somebody else's property a priority if she's elected to Congress. But this is where we've been headed for a long, long time, because out of the disaster of Democrats here in our state and across the country, they are hoping that people will be so desperate that they will resort to Marxism. So I'll talk to her tomorrow. Just found that out myself. All right. Joe Biden, he actually is excited. He's speaking in Taiwan. He is excited about record high gas prices.
When it comes to the gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place, that God willing, when it's over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over.
No, we'll just be relying on China, which makes 65% of the EV batteries in the world. And he's excited about it. It's an incredible transition. Jay Inslee feels the same way. You might be getting hammered every time you go to the pump, but just know that Joe Biden and Jay Inslee are thrilled that you and your family are getting financially wiped out. This is all by design. Donald Trump told you this would happen. Also, he said this, and already his staff is trying to clean up another Joe remark when he was asked, if China attacks Taiwan, will the United States get involved?
You didn't want to get involved in the Ukraine conflict militarily for obvious reasons. Are you willing to get involved militarily to defend Taiwan if it comes to that?
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
So if China invades Taiwan, World War III is on in the demented mind of Joe Biden. And immediately, his staff, the CNN, his staff said, no, Joe didn't mean what Joe said. He just says what he doesn't mean.
It was a bold statement from the president, and it was almost immediately walked back by the White House while he continues his trip in Asia. The president saying that he would use the U.S. military to defend Taiwan if China were to invade. But that's not the stated and longstanding U.S. policy of strategic ambiguity necessarily. CNN has learned that President Biden's comments caught some of his top aides off guard. This is drawing a sharp response already from China.
Of course, that's because Joe doesn't know what he's talking about. Of course his aides don't know. And then we got Kamala waiting in the wings.
You know, when we talk about our children, I know for this group, we all believe that when we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community.
Did you know that? When we talk about children of the community?
The community? They are a children of the community.
Well, I did not know the children of the community are the children of the community.
We will assist Jamaica in COVID recovery by assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica.
I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank, talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. There is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
How dare they? How dare they? How dare they? How dare they? How dare they?
Which is why we will work together and continue to work together, and to work together as we continue to work that we will convene to work together on.
You know, when we talk about our children, I know for this group, we all believe that when we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community.
Well said. I got to get out of here. John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show, coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon.